Joining us right now on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline, excited to talk a little college football. He is the editor-in-chief for college football at The Athletic, also has a great podcast, the Audible podcast as well, and was part of an incredible story for all of us out west, along with Christian Capel and some others, about the Pac-12 network and what an absolute gong show that was and is. Stuart Mandel joins us right now on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. Stuart, I know you're busy this time of year. I appreciate you carving out some time for us here in Seattle.
Absolutely. Happy to talk college football.
Before we get college football, let's talk about your other expertise, and that would be networks and the Pac-12 network, which is kind of the crux
of
the...
I spent a lot of time writing about TV recently.
That's all. It's, God, I know. Instead of top 25, it's like, what's going on in college football and in the television world? I mentioned this to our listeners earlier. It's a terrific story. We do a lot of stuff with guys from The Athletic out here. We're big fans, and that's a great piece that you guys did on the Pac-12 and what's going on with the Pac-12 network. My takeaway, I'll start with this. My takeaway from that is, and Kevin mentioned this, my producer, a minute ago, they kind of got what they wanted out of it. The Olympic sports were a big focal point, and Olympic sport coaches or non-revenue coaches were really happy. But in the end, not just DirecTV, but overall, the revenues and the model not partnering with somebody were the big reason that maybe we are, Stuart, where we are here today with the Pac-12 and the teams leaving.
Yeah, so yesterday was the 10th anniversary of the Pac-12 network, and it was interesting to go back and talk to people about the early days and the vision for it. And you're right, a big selling point from Larry Scott, from the presidents, from people involved in the network was, hey, you know, it's the Conference of Champions. They care about a lot more than just football. And now there's going to be a national network that shows 850 sports events a year. So not just football and basketball, obviously, a whole lot of Olympic sports, women's sports, you know, at that time, you know, most women's sports were not being televised at all. So that was, you know, if that's the measuring stick, mission accomplished, but, you know, you hear conflicting, and we certainly talk to people who say, no, yes, that was a big part of it. But, and this is in particular with the people there, the ADs and people who worked on the campuses, Larry showed us a slide in a meeting of what we could expect in terms of revenue, and it was significant that the schools could be making as much as $10 million per year from the Pac-12 network alone, on top of what they make from ESPN and Fox. And within a couple years, when they weren't on DirecTV, it became apparent they were never going to come close to that, and it caused a lot of friction. And it, you know, as you said, like, I don't think, you know, an extra few million dollars a year would have prevented USC and UCLA from leaving, but it came to be such a source of dissension and criticism, obviously, of Larry Scott. And like you said, the model, the choice to go at it alone rather than with an ESPN or Fox, and all the criticism he took for that is why we wanted to do the story in the first place, because the network kind of became the symbol for the larger issues in the conference.
Do you think, Stuart, in the end, that if they would have been much like the Big Ten and the SEC networks, if they would have been partnered, and I think the ACC as well, ACC network as well, if they would have accepted a partnership with either Fox or ESPN, if things would have turned out different for the Pac-12 network and this and maybe more importantly, Stuart, the conference as a whole?
Well, in terms of the network, absolutely. You know, it became really... once the SEC and ACC networks launched and had much better distribution than the Pac-12, that's when you realized what a mistake that was, because what those companies can do is go to the cable providers and DirecTV and Dish and say, you're going to take this, or well, if you want ESPN and ESPN2, you're also going to take this network. That's how the Longhorn network is in as many homes as it is. And the Pac-12 just had no leverage. Now, people in that story also talk about the fact that, you know, at the end of the day, if this were the SEC and Big Ten, the fans would have just canceled DirecTV. They wouldn't have been able to live without it. And you didn't see that necessarily in the Pac-12. It isn't quite as rabid as it is in other parts of the country. In terms of the conference, it's hard for me to say that because there were so many other issues. And the main one being that the football product just got worse and worse over the course of the decade. And I don't know that more exposure or the Pac-12 network being in more households would have necessarily prevented that. But there were a lot of fork-in-the-road moments over the last 10 years with that network, whether it was the presidents turning down a deal that would have put it on DirecTV. We didn't really get into this in the story, but ESPN offered to take it over a few years ago. if the Pac-12 would extend their rights. I mean, certainly if that had gone through, then USC and UCLA might be locked in for much longer than they are.
Larry. Stuart Mandel joining us here, and the presidents, joining us here on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline from The Athletic. I'll move on to actual football talk in a second. Just the final thing in those regards. There's a lot of stress out here in the Northwest, a lot of consternation about where we are, what we're going to, what's next for the conference. Husky fans maybe feel a little more comfortable than, say, Washington State fans do or Oregon State fans do, but I think there's just this great unknown. In your mind, was it good news with what happened and is happening with the Big Ten TV contract? Do you think that the value of West Coast late-night Saturday football windows is going to help keep the Pac-12 in a survival mode in the next few years?
It definitely was good news for the Pac-12 that the Big Ten lost out on, that ESPN lost out on the Big Ten. Certainly not just from the fact that that's a lot of money that they saved. Like you said, I mean, I think they were always going to be interested in those 10:30 Eastern windows. There might be some more windows now available. I think what we're going to see is how open are the Pac-12 schools to doing some things that in the past they've been very opposed to. I think if you're willing to put games on Thursday and Friday nights, if you're willing to, I'm sure there's going to be some sort of streaming component where maybe some games that would have otherwise been on TV will now move to a streaming service. I think that at the end of the day, the Pac-12 will do better than maybe some people expect. Not better than they would have with USC and UCLA, obviously, but not quite the doomsday projections people have. Then the problem is, or then the question is that enough to calm the waters? Or are Oregon and Washington in particular going to be calling up Kevin Warren and saying, hey, we're about to sign this deal, or we're being asked to sign this deal. Is there any chance you still have an invite waiting for us?
What do you think is I'm going to ask you a very subjective question. Football brand-wise, outside, because we live in, I think all of us sometimes live in a bubble, and whatever part of the country we're in, and someone who covers things on a national stage hopefully has a better handle on just kind of a more objective view, but it's still a subjective question I'm going to ask you. In terms of football brands, out west in the Pac-12 right now, minus the Trojans of USC and Chip Kelly's underperforming UCLA team, as we like to say, you've got Utah, which has been the best team in the conference, along with Oregon over the last decade or so. Oregon, Utah, certainly you've got Washington fans out here want to know about them. Stanford, because of just the name and the prestige with that university. What are the true national football brands in this conference after the LA schools have left? Is it just one or two? Is there more?
I think it starts with Oregon, who obviously has been a national brand, in my opinion, for about 15, 20 years now, who's played in two national title games in the not-too-distant past and has the Nike identity. I mean, I think they're absolutely a national brand. I think and again, sometimes it depends on how old somebody is, right? If you're old enough to remember that Washington used to, won a national championship and was in contention for national championships, yeah, you absolutely think of Washington as a national brand. Maybe somebody who's 18 years old does not. Stanford had a nice little run in the Andrew Luck, Christian McCaffrey days where that kind of raised their profile, but they've taken a big step back. But I did a story several weeks ago looking at the TV numbers for the remaining Pac-12 schools, and many of them do better than you would expect. Yeah. I think part of that is that they do benefit, believe it or not, from that ESPN 10:30 game that actually does decent numbers. But also, these are big, big schools with big fan bases, and people, when you talk about TV ratings, the people who care about the teams are going to watch the games no matter what. The TV ratings depend on can you get the casual fan to watch, and I just think casual fan in other parts of the country recognizes Washington, maybe even Colorado, even though they haven't been good recently, more than they recognize Kansas State or Iowa State. Big 12 fans hate me for saying that, but I think that's the case.
Well, I totally see that. I mean, because I kind of look at Washington. I look at, you bring up a couple of those other Big 12 schools. Put Colorado. I mean, Colorado won the national championship, in 1990? Is that what it was? Or 89? Mm-hmm. So Colorado and Washington, to me, would fall into the same category as Nebraska, in my mind. And I'm 57. I mean, I kind of look at like those are, in the 90s, those were programs that were of national prominence. But most people, a lot of the consumers you're targeting, they're under my age group, right? So maybe they don't, you know, resonate with them. Maybe a Utah does, but, you know, I mean, they're doing the numbers to look at that. So let's look at the football as a whole. Three teams in the preseason top 25s, doesn't matter which one you look at, coaches or AP poll, from this conference. Utah, Oregon, and USC in that order. They're the three teams ranked. How does that compare with the rest of the conference? Is this just like the same old, like we're just going down this road again, we're only going to have one or two teams in the top 25, and probably nobody battling for the college football playoff yet again here in this conference?
Well, as I look at the Pac-12 this season, there's a big drop-off after those three. So those three teams are all teams that should realistically feel like they can contend for a playoff spot. USC, that's a bit of a stretch maybe because they were 4-8 last year and had a lot of bad losses, but they've upgraded their offense so much that it's at least possible to think about that. And at the very least, they should, you know, be more relevant than they have been the past few years. But once you get past Utah, Oregon, and USC, it drops off quite a bit. Now, somebody will rise up and surprise us, and a lot of people think that team could be Washington State because they got this great quarterback transfer from FCS and Cam Ward.
Yeah.
But I don't see, you know, but even a fat team rises up and goes 9-3 or something like that, they're not going to move the needle the way that those other first three we talked about could if they're in the hunt right till the end.
Kevin, that's why we get Stewart on. Go Cougs, huh? Because he has that just unscripted. I'm a Coug, by the way, Stewart. That's why I'm smiling right now. So,
reason to be optimistic.
Well, I mean, yeah, because as I'm sitting out here at Seahawks training camp right now, you know what? When you don't have a quarterback, there's not a lot of optimism. If you do have a quarterback, you do have optimism, and that's the difference between a lot of these teams. Final thing, college football playoff has been often debated, and at some point it feels inevitable that they are going to change the format, increase teams, correct? At the same time, do you ever feel fatigue from your readers and people you talk to and college football fans outside of Tuscaloosa and Columbus and South Carolina, just the fatigue that seems like it's the same old. I think it's only 13 teams, right, have filled the four spots
right
since college football playoff began. Is there any fatigue elsewhere in the country? I know we feel it out here.
Yeah, there's a lot of fatigue. You know, it was nice that Cincinnati crashed the party last year in terms of making things a little bit interesting. I think the Joe Burrow year really galvanized people because they kind of came out of nowhere. But obviously the continued dominance of Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, that's the reason this thing is going to expand. You know, this wasn't when we went from 2 to 4, it was because in the BCS, you just could not legitimately say for sure that you knew every year who the best team was. There were a lot of good teams that just finished number 3. I don't think anybody feels like the best team has won the national championship, but to your point, because so much focus is on the playoff now, especially the ESPN kind of year-long promotion around it, you know, if you're not one of those small handful of teams that has dominated it, you feel left out. And the entire, you know, the entire West Coast has been left out since 2016. So that's why this thing's going to expand. They had an opportunity to expand in January, and they got, you know, three leagues held out. But, you know, soon there will be no contract. And then, you know, then you're starting from scratch. And there's no scenario where the next iteration of this is only four teams. It's just a matter of how much bigger it's going to get.
I would encourage people to go to theathletic.com, go to the college football tab, and check out what was written. These guys did a terrific job on the Pac-12 Network. I think for those of us out here, it'll explain a lot as to where we are right now with this conference, especially with the network as well. Stewart, thank you so much. I appreciate your time today.